Okay, today's scripture reading is going to be in Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in the secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings, offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Amen.
His life was a mess. The memory of better days were fresh in his mind, and their memory condemned the present predicament he found himself in. It was his own fault. He had it all, but that was then, and this is now. So what can he do about it? Psalm 51 is a psalm written by a fellow who found himself in that spot, familiar to many of us, of saying, oh, for the good days when things were right, but now things are a mess. Psalm 51 was written by a fellow by the name of David. We'll talk more about this as we go forward. This one who had been called a man after God's own heart, yet found his heart distant from the one who loved him and sought to embrace him and sought to be glorified through him. But there was a gap. There was distance. His heart was wrong, and he knew it. There was something amiss, and he knew it. The question was, how do I get it restored? Now, again, I say familiar because I think a lot of us can find ourselves in this story. Part of the story goes beyond where most of us would go, but that sense of finding ourselves in a place where we don't want to be, where we would yearn for something better. We know we've been created for more, and yet we find ourselves kind of in this gray, kind of in this dull, kind of in this flat existence where that connection between us and God that we know was made for something more, we just don't feel it. That's where David is. He knows what it means to walk close with the Lord. He knows what it means to feel that refreshment that comes. But he's in a place now where he can't feel it. And we all, I think, at times find ourselves in that drab place without that spark, wanting something, but knowing that our vision just seems clouded, that, you know, the waters around us seem muddy. You know, that connection that we have, that we had with God seems to be now blurred. So in Psalm 51, this becomes a place not just for a history lesson about David, who lived a long, long time ago, but it becomes an invitation for you and me as we begin to say, what do we do with this thing called life? So today we want to look at the specific context of Psalm 51. Then we're going to open it up and look a little further. Because when it talks about having a wrong heart, a connection with God that is out of joint, this becomes then the invitation for all of us. We'll look at the specifics of David's story and how it applies to this text today and how it applies to us. We'll go on in the next few weeks, not just looking at the sin and the consequences of sin that David refers to here, but other ways that our heart grows cold, of closing that gap, distant. And we need to figure a way of closing that gap. We'll be looking about that as we move forward. Today I want to talk about this idea. As David cries out, and you probably heard it in the verse, where he cries out for God to renew his spirit. Because our spirit needs to be renewed. Today we'll look at that sense of what it means for this idea of sin and the consequences of sin. We'll talk about more of that specifically because that is what Psalm 51 is literally about. Now, all the Psalms, as we look at Psalms, this is interesting for us, for people like myself as preachers, to talk about the Psalms and to preach about the Psalms. Because whereas we can often go to, you know, all throughout the Bible, the Word of God for His people, the Psalms are a unique set of things. They are basically prayers, prayers of people, which means they are words spoken to God or about God, but not necessarily God's words spoken to us. So we get to see in the Psalms this kind of this cry of David's heart, cry for all of our heart, that all of us who find ourselves in that kind of stuck in neutral place, and we yearn for something beyond. So we're going to take a look at Psalm 51, and a lot of the Psalms, as many of the Psalms do, you may have noticed, if you opened your Bible and took a look at it, you would find that a lot of the Psalms have these little notes, explanatory notes, at the beginning. Often they are, you know, what song, what tune to put this to when we sing it together, or what instruments are most appropriate for the playing with this song. I'm sorry, Zaldi, I don't see any would say guitar, but that's okay. That's what we do now, okay? Not 4,000 years ago, but now, okay. Or what context in the sense of worship this psalm can be best used. Few, but this one is one of those that gives us a context when the psalm was written, what was going on in David's life. You may notice if you read in Psalm 51, the explanatory note at the beginning says, "For the director of music, a psalm of David, when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery to Bathsheba." Okay, so this is a very specific psalm, and it's very specific in its cry, and it tells us right away what's going on. There's a man, David, whose life is out of step with God. He writes this after, not after the adultery, but after Nathan the prophet comes and brings light to the adultery. You know, a little backstory, and I know many of you know this story, so I won't go too deep into it, but for David, there was an issue. There was a time, and it speaks about it back in the Old Testament, where David, the king of Israel, commits adultery with a woman named Bathsheba. And then to try to cover up his sin, he brings her husband back from, and then he finds out that she has become pregnant. Trouble. Ooh. I wish I could put the music score behind this, because this would be, So David's got to figure out a way. He's got to figure a way to cover up his sin. Isn't that what we do? Isn't that our first reaction when we cross a line? We got to think, I hope no one saw. I hope no one finds out. I'm going to try to hide. I'm going to try to cover. And he does. He brings her husband home from the war, Uriah, and has him so that he wants him to go and sleep with her so that he can say it wasn't his baby, it wasn't his sin that is going to become obvious here as she becomes more and more pregnant. But Uriah doesn't come back and sleep with his wife. Long story short, he goes back to the war and David has him killed. Is he an adulterer? But he is now even a murderer. And we begin to wonder, this is a question for another day, how is a person who is an adulterer and a murderer, how does he get to be called a man after God's own heart? And that's what we're going to look at even a little bit here this morning. Because we see what's going on here for David is that he is coming to terms with his sinfulness and how that sin can sometimes get, how it always will get in the way of our connection with God. Sin is always going to come and bring a consequence, a separation of our walk with God. That's always what it does. But there's another thing that happens to us whenever we cross that line. And that's a consequence that has to do with the shame that is often involved with it. Sin is always going to separate us, but the consequence of our sin and shame is always going to separate us from God as well. And so I want to go just take a moment. Here it is. Because David starts. In fact, take me to the first verse. You can see this is what he's after. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, he says. This is how it opens up. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. David's not trying to hide his sins any longer. He knows he can't. And so he has to come clean. And so he goes to where it needs to have been going all along, to bring it to God, to bring it to him for his forgiveness. This is what we're going to be talking about today here in Psalm 51. This is what we'll be doing today when we invite you to come forward and receive Holy Communion today. This is about saying that we are sinful, and because of that, we fortunately have a place to go with it. That we can go to the one who has made us, and out of his mercy, out of his unfailing love, out of his gain of our sins, he is willing to take it away from us. He is willing to blot away the stain of our sins. He is willing to take it away from us. But not only does sin separate us from God, but also shame creates a barrier for us as well. That even once we have been forgiven by God, then there is still something that happens to us that often keeps us in a place of being indistant as well. And that is a shame. The shame that says, oh, I've somehow failed, I've blown it. Or that maybe we begin to hear those voices, I'm no good, I'm God doesn't care any longer. God, I don't measure up. See, there's a difference, and we need to begin to recognize this. One, we need to be open and honest enough about our sinfulness to say, I have blown it. But the second thing we need to also be willing to do is discern that voice we hear in our head. Is it the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking conviction to us, saying there is sin and it needs to be dealt with? Or is it the voice of the enemy who speaks to us, the voice of condemnation, which says, you've blown it, God doesn't want anything to do with you anymore? There are two different ways of discerning this. One is, does that voice lead us to a place of hope? I can come and be forgiven because of God's unfailing love, because of his great compassion. I can plead for his mercy. Or has my sin so scarred me, so marred me, so degraded me that I am no longer worthy of coming to God and receiving his mercy? In God's eyes, we don't get there. In our eyes, we often do, because of the shame of our sin and because of that voice of condemnation. That voice of condemnation will never give us hope. It is always, it's too late. You've done too much. You've gone too far. There's no way back. Those are the voices of the condemner. Those are the voices that we often hear that keep us in that place, locked in that place of our sinfulness, that maybe we might ask for forgiveness, but sometimes we get to the place where we don't even want to ask anymore because what's the point? I've already asked before. He forgave me before, but I keep doing this. And so we stop and we allow that gap to grow. And it becomes so wide that we think, is there even a God out there? We wonder, where has God gone? But truth number one is God has not moved. That when it comes to restoring this connection, we need to realize that it is us who have moved. And we can look inside and say, God, walk me through this being restored. I love the way the verses go throughout the passage. And I will invite you to just continue to look at this over the next course of the next few days or weeks. But have mercy on me. Wash away my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. God, you know my transgressions. You know where I've blown it. And yet I still come before you. And against you, I have sinned. Be honest with him. And yet in that, there is still something more. We invite him to cleanse us. But go ahead. In verse 10, it comes down to this. It says, create in me this clean heart. There is something that has to be more. more than just being forgiven, but it's about being renewed to where that shame of our guilt goes away, to where that condemnation that the enemy brings is set aside, and that we are now renewed and our spirit now becomes right once again within us. That closeness of a relationship that has been broken because of sin or shame now begins to be restored. And this is a work that we can't do for ourselves. This is an act of faith. This verse, verse 10, is a cry for God to do something that we cannot do for ourselves. To create in me a clean heart. That is to wash away the sin that's there. But to renew that right spirit in me. Now, this is King James. It says right spirit. Some versions say a loyal spirit or a steadfast spirit. Something that says that I'm going to be in that right place. I'm going to keep that priority, that first things first. Going to keep God in my life and not let other things get in the way. But this becomes the challenge for us to say, God, do for me what I cannot do for myself. Begin to renew a spirit that draws me close, that instead of being embarrassed or afraid, I'm able to come and have this restored. But do this in me. And that's what, again, what we're going to start today when we do communion. Not only is it about forgiveness and being cleansed, but it's about renewing that right spirit. Verses 11 and 12, I love this next one. In the NIV, it says this, and this is very, I mean, it's very direct. The psalmist says, cast me not away from your presence. God doesn't cast us away from his presence, but that's the psalmist's heart, isn't it? That's our fear, isn't it? That somehow that we are going to be discarded because of what we have done. But the psalmist says, no, don't cast me away from your spirit. Don't take your spirit, Holy Spirit, away from me, but restore to me the joy of my salvation. That's what we want, isn't it? When we find ourselves in that faraway place, when we find ourselves in that drab existence of life, we want to know that our joy can be renewed. And grant for me a willing spirit to sustain me. I love the way the message says it. Eugene Peterson is genius in some of this, the way he puts the words together. If you don't have the message, you know, dial it up on your Bible app. It's fun. Okay? But hear this as a prayer. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week out of the chaos of my life. Don't throw me out with the trash. Anyone ever feel like they have been thrown out with the trash? Anyone ever feel like maybe you should be thrown out with the trash? Anyone fear that maybe God is just going to be tired of you and throw you out with the trash? This becomes the plea of the psalmist's heart. Don't throw me out with the trash or fail to breathe your holiness in me. Again, it's not me doing it. It's got to God. Bring me back from gray exile. Is that a beautiful term? That's a horrible term, but is that a beautiful way of putting it? Have where we feel we are. We feel sometimes that we're in this grayness, in this exile, where the closeness, the freshness, the excitement of God's relationship with us has somehow dissipated, and we don't know what to do. For those of us living in gray exile, he says, and put fresh wind in my sails. Who of us would like fresh wind in their sails? Good news for you folks. This is where it begins. This is where it begins. It begins with this plea. It begins with this cry. You may have not ever murdered somebody, committed adultery, or some other heinous crime such as that. Or maybe you have. The good news is all of us as sinners are invited out of the gray exile to receive a fresh spirit, new wind in our sails that can begin to renew in us something that we thought was lost forever. This is where it begins. And today where it's going to begin for us is coming clean. going to talk about, just briefly talk about what it means for us as we come to the table of communion today. Each and every one of us invited to come to that table. And as we come, we're looking for two things. One is an honesty that says, God, this is who I am. Thank you for your forgiveness. Forgive me, but please, but thank you for your forgiveness. And the second piece is like it. Put new wind in my sails. As we take the body of Christ that was broken for you, as we take the blood of Jesus and dip it into the cup and receive from him that which he poured out for us, not just for our forgiveness, but to renew us and refresh us, this is where this fresh wind begins today. With your willingness to step out of the pew and come honestly and earnestly, forgiveness and renew me. In this moment, this is where we begin, and we're going to move forward. So I want to invite us, as we get ready, we're going to just do a real brief prayer before we move to the elements of communion. This prayer, I'm going to have you do it. We'll do it responsively. It's going to be a prayer that all of us get a chance to say. It's going to be on the screen behind me. I'll do part, then I'll have you do part, but let's just make this our prayer today. It comes from Psalm 51. But we're going to make this psalm our own today. So pray with me. Lord, have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. And this is for you. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. For we know our transgressions. Our sin is ever before us. Against you, you only, have we sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Hide your face from our sins and blot out our iniquities. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us.